Hey, today we are going to talk about a famous duet. We are not going to be talking about Sonny and Cher singing, "I Got You, Babe." We are not going to be singing about Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers singing, "Islands in the Stream." No, and not Marvin Gaye and Tammy Tyrell. I had to look that one up. Singing, "Ain't No Mountain High Enough." I had to look that one up. It's a good song, though. No. We're going to talk about a biblical duet. Did you know that there are duets in the Bible? Honestly, did you know that? Maybe not. Maybe you didn't know that. Well, I'd like you to turn your Bible to the second most popular psalm of all. Number two, coming in after Psalm 23, is Psalm 121. If you'll turn to that in your Bibles, that would be great. This is a duet. Remember, these are all songs. The Psalms are the hymn book of the Bible. This is a duet. Psalm 121 was written as a call and response song. The congregation's role is to sing the first two verses. And then the priest, or in this case, the pastor, it's their job to sing verses 3 through 8. Now, I sang in my sermon 2 weeks ago, which made me incredibly uncomfortable, as I mentioned already. Yes, especially Dave. Thank you, Dave. Get that knife out of my back a little later. What'd you think of? No. I would like not to shrink the church because of my singing. So I'm not going to sing again today. We're going to give each other a break. But I'd like us to still read this scripture like a duet. I want you to read verses 1 and 2. Pastor Paul's going to help because someone's got to lead. So Pastor Paul, you get to lead, and I will respond with verses 3 through 8. Take it away.
Would you join me? I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
My turn. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over you, your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God's word. First thing you need to know about Psalm 121, well, other than it's a duet, after that, the first thing you need to know, it's a holiday song. It's a holiday song. We have 4 days until Thanksgiving. Raise your hand if you've been in a store and you've already heard the dulcet tones of Christmas music. Anyone? I was at a store that still had Halloween candy lingering on the shelves, and suddenly I heard Frosty the Snowman playing over the store radio system. The theory that stores have, that corporate America has, that if they play Christmas music, right, it's going to put you in a good mood, and it's going to make you want to buy more stuff. In this case, it probably kept me from buying some half-off Halloween candy because it was a different season altogether. Scientists are beginning to actually study this idea. Does playing Christmas music actually make you want to buy stuff in the store? And you know, they're finding out some cool stuff. First of all, they found out that 23% of Americans hate all holiday music all the time. I'm going to assume that no one in church today is a part of that 23%, okay? I'm going to assume that we are all part of the 77% that likes holiday music. But while the 77% of us do feel sentimental, we get excited about hearing holiday music in the store or wherever else that we happen to come upon it, eventually we start to get fatigued. That when you've heard Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for the umpteenth time, it actually starts to stress us out. Even if we really like holiday music, we get stressed out. And what the scientists are saying is that if you're already stressed out by work, if you're already stressed out by money, if you're already stressed out by family, that sounds like the holidays, right? That hearing the same song over and over again, it makes you more stressed out than relaxing. I'm seeing some heads going, uh-huh, I know what that's like. Yeah, absolutely. Even for the 77%. Psalm 121 is a holiday song, okay? It was written for the holidays. This is a song for Passover. This is for the Feast of Weeks, for the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jewish people would climb Mount Zion, and they would sing these songs, which are called the Songs of Ascent, or the Psalms of Ascent. What does it mean? It means climbing the mountain. I didn't arrange that with Pastor Britta. That was perfect. It was perfect. This is a holiday song that you sing while climbing mountains to go and worship in the temple in Jerusalem. That's what the songs are written for, okay? There are 15 of them in the book of Psalms. I want you to think of it as the special mountain climbing song to get to worship. And I want you to think of it kind of like this. Think of it as you're driving to church on Christmas Eve, right? And Silent Night comes on the radio, and you sing it before you get to church. That's what this song is. Or you sing it when you're driving home from worship. That's what the Songs of Ascent were. They're holiday songs, mountain climbing songs. Now, I'd like you to raise your hand here if you sometimes listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Anyone willing to admit that? Yeah, I do. I do. I have to admit, I've been playing Silent Night and Joy to the World on my guitar already, and I've enjoyed overhearing our choir practice for the Christmas musical. You know they have to practice, right? They have to practice. And so the last couple Wednesday nights, I've been walking around the church building, choir singing. I'm like, oh, I love the choir. I love our choir. And I love that music. Do you like to listen to that music all the time? I do. I do. Listening to Christmas music early is kind of like having your birthday cake for breakfast every morning. It starts to lose what makes it special, right? But it still tastes so sweet. It still tastes so good. I want you to think of Psalm 121 as a holiday song, but it never stops being special. Never. The song is not empty calories like jingle bells or like eating your cake for breakfast. This song is hearty and it's good for you, like the bread of life. Psalm 121 is not going to stress you out with relentless cheer, okay? These words are real. They have meaning. It will calm you down. It will encourage you no matter what life throws your way. It's a special thing. It's a unique thing when you climb Mount Zion to worship in Jerusalem. But every day we've got some mountain to climb, right? There's some challenge. There's some struggle. We need this holiday song every day of the year. And the promise in today's scripture, five times, look it up if you got the Bible open, five times the psalmist tells us God is going to watch over us, not just during the holidays, not just when we're making the special trip. Every day of the year, God is watching over you. Point number two, Psalm 121 is also a Thanksgiving song. See where I'm going here? It's a holiday song. It's a Thanksgiving song. Now, last week, Pastor Randall broke down the book of Psalms into 10 different categories. I found this helpful. Anyone else find that helpful? I found it really helpful because it's a great reminder that different songs have different purposes. What's the purpose of Psalm 121? other than being a worship song, a mountain song. They classify this as a Thanksgiving song. How appropriate that we're studying it this week, right? I mean, right before we go to the Thanksgiving table. Now, what is a Thanksgiving song? Usually it starts with praise, okay? Here we start with, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Starts with praise. Then it moves to stories of deliverance. What happens in today's psalm? God's going to watch your coming and your going. God's going to watch your hand. He's going to watch your foot. He's going to watch your life. God's going to watch you at the day. He's going to watch you at the night. Stories of deliverance. And then songs of thanksgiving, they move back to praise one more time. Our psalm ends today, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore." The point is, God is going to watch over you always, okay? Not just during the holidays, always. And we should be thankful. And sometimes we forget that everything we have, that everything we are, comes from the blessing of God. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but do you still take time to give God thanks at the Thanksgiving table? Families are complicated, right? I thought I'd get an amen for that one. Families are complicated, right? Apparently your family isn't. Got to have you over to Thanksgiving at my house sometime. Maybe your Uncle George doesn't believe in God, right? Or maybe you just don't want the cousins to be arguing about religion this year. And maybe that's why the family Thanksgiving prayer gets shortchanged sometimes to a demoralizing version of rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, right? I've eaten at that Thanksgiving table. Maybe you've eaten at that Thanksgiving table. The turkey tastes just as good or bad. But the table conversation leaves me hungry for more. We neglect point of Thanksgiving, we turn it into a football day. We turn it into a feasting day without a purpose. We turn it into getting ready for Black Friday. We've lost it. We've lost the point. Psychologists tell us that gratitude makes us happier, healthier people. And there are way too many psychological studies for me to summarize on the physical and the mental health benefits of gratitude. But in short, very shortly, gratitude releases toxic emotions, reduces pain, improves sleep. Ooh, does that sound good to anyone? Fosters resilience, relaxes stress, reduces anxiety and depression. Does any of that sound good to you this morning? Oh, sounds good to me. If you want to feel healthier and happier this morning, can you hit pause on the football game? I know you're capable of this because you're here while the Seahawks are playing, okay? Can you hit pause on the football game or skip the halftime show? I don't know. And talk about why you're thankful to God this year? Can we, this Thanksgiving, not argue about politics? I'm dreaming out loud, I know. Could this be the Thanksgiving where we actually thank God at our tables? I know it sounds crazy to ask this, but you think that might be why we get together this year? I tell you, you'll be healthier. I tell you, you'll be happier. Another possibility is you could show up to church on Wednesday night. You know, we have this thing, this Thanksgiving service. Thanksgiving Eve service, I should say. You come to Bethany Covenant Church, and there is no sermon. I was expecting an amen there, too. People tell me this is their favorite service of the year, and I wonder if it's because there is no sermon. People just get up and they talk. They talk about why they are thankful, what they are grateful for, and we listen to these stories. Sometimes they'll break our hearts, right? And sometimes they'll boost us up. Another reason why it might be the most popular service of the year is because of the pie. There's a great miracle that happens at this church every Thanksgiving Eve service. Not only do you get to eat pie, but you leave the church healthier than when you came in because you engaged in gratitude. And whatever calories you put on, oh, it's more than made up for by the feelings of gratitude to God and hearing good things about your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones. Make this a healthier, happier Thanksgiving. Show up. Thank God in public. It'll do you good. My third point is that Psalm 121 is a pilgrim song. On November 9th, 1620, the 101 remaining travelers on the Mayflower finally caught a glimpse of America after 65 days of misery. These pilgrims gave God praise with a different Thanksgiving psalm, number 100. And they said in their prayer, "Shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." That's the kind of pilgrim I grew up learning about in the public school system. We were taught that pilgrims wore black and white clothing with big brass buckles on the hats and on the shoes. That turned out to not be true, but you don't want to mess up craft time, right? We've been doing these crafts for 50 years, maybe 100 years. You don't want to mess that up. It's not really true, but don't let that get in the way of a good craft time. My teachers, we focused on the paper hats more than on the talks of religious persecution and the search for freedom. It wasn't until I got to college that I learned that the word pilgrim means much more than people in black hats with buckles on them. But it's any religious seeker, anyone going in search of worship of God. That's what a pilgrim is. This is a pilgrim song. For instance, when Jesus was a boy, his family made a pilgrimage every year from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Why? To climb Mount Zion and to participate in the Passover festival. Every year they did this. When Jesus was a teenager, he decided to act like a teenager a little bit, and he decided to extend his pilgrimage a little bit and hang out with the teachers of the law and ask them questions. By the way, how do rabbis teach? They ask questions. Jesus was taking that position, and he asked questions, and he challenged the rabbis. And by some miracle, Jesus was right there, safe and sound, when his family found him at the end of his pilgrimage and brought him home. Jesus was a pilgrim. No black hat, no buckle. Jesus was a pilgrim. When he turned 30 years old, he left his family again and went on a 3-year pilgrimage all over Israel, talking about God, telling people about this love of God, this grace of God. Jesus the pilgrim. As I was thinking about this week, I was thinking, wow, Jesus must have sung Psalm 121 all the time. He was always climbing mountains. He was always on a pilgrimage, right? He was always doing this. There are 15 songs of ascent in the book of Psalms. That's 10%, okay? 15 songs to choose from. He must have been singing this song all the time as he was climbing up Mount Zion once again to visit Jerusalem. And when he was a little boy, What would he have done? He would have sung verses 1 and 2, looking for reassurance. And when he was the rabbi, when he was the teacher, when he was the leader, it was his job to sing reassuringly, verses 3 through 8. God's watching you. God's watching you. God's watching you. God's watching you. Five times. God's watching you. That's a song worth singing, right? I've led pilgrims to Jerusalem. We did a lot of singing when we went to Jerusalem, right? We did some singing. We had some good songs while we were there. We also experienced the blessing that we read about in Psalm 121. Jet lag made it really hard to sleep, I gotta tell you. Do you know how comforting it is in the middle of the night when you cannot sleep to know that God's still open for business? That when, when your wife is asleep and isn't interested in talking at 2 in the morning, God's still interested in talking to you. You can always pray. We got some suntans when we were in Israel, right? I don't think anyone got burnt too bad. We weren't harmed by the sun too much. Our feet did sometimes slip, though, on those cobblestone roads. But God watched over our footsteps, too. I think that God did not allow anyone to fall catastrophically, which I think is the real point of Psalm 121. Not that you're never going to stumble or stub your toe or make a trip in your life, but that God's got you covered. Some of us got free rides in Israel, too. I wonder about when Jesus went up to Mount Zion that time, where he's headed for the crucifixion. I wonder if Jesus sang Psalm 121 that time, right? Because he's a pilgrim going to Jerusalem, the very point of this song. Do you think he found comfort in singing 121, knowing that God was watching over him and protecting him then? Or do you think those would have been hard words to sing when Jesus knew very well that he was going to go to the cross, that he was going to be tortured and left to die on a cross to save you and to save me from our sins? What do you think? Do you think he sang those songs with a heavy heart? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it does tell us this is the song you sing when you're heading up Mount Zion and you're going to worship at the Passover festival. Okay? I don't know. I know this. When Jesus died and rose again, he validated all those wonderful, amazing promises that are right there in Psalm 121. All that bright poetry, all that great songwriting, all those great metaphors, he validated them by rising from the dead. Yes, our feet slip sometimes. Yes, we get sunburnt sometimes. Yes, we get hurt sometimes. Two pilgrims died on the Mayflower, and a lot of pilgrims died on the journey to Jerusalem. But anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ will have eternal life. The resurrection means that your injury, that your cancer, that your death will not be the final word in your life. Death does not get the final word. Jesus gets the final word. It might feel like your foot slipped, but Jesus has got you covered. Now, every year at Thanksgiving, I have church friends who come to me and they ask me to pray for traveling mercies for their children and their grandchildren. I love that turn of phrase, right? Traveling mercies. I want you to remember this year that Thanksgiving is a religious holiday. And that means that all your children and all your grandchildren and all your family members that are traveling home for Thanksgiving this year are what? They're pilgrims. Maybe you still have grandkids that are still young enough and cute enough to get away with a black and white paper hat, with a yellow Crayola buckle drawn in the center. Or maybe it's been a couple years, and you just got those sweet sentimental memories, right? Of when your kids were that young, and they'd show up at home with the craft project, historically inaccurate as it is, on their heads. Either way, I want you to think of those people coming to your house, or you on the way to someone else's house, as the pilgrim this year. And that means this song is for you. 121, Psalm 121 reassures us that God is watching over us. How many times does it tell us God's watching over us? 5 times. God watches over your whole person. Psalm 121 specifically mentions your hand and your foot and your whole life. It also says God watches over your moments. Psalm 121 specifically mentions the sun of day and the moon at night. What does that leave? Nothing else. That's it. That's all the moments. Psalm 121 mentions both ends of the journey. To quote J.R.R. Tolkien, there and back again. For all of those who get worried about their family members traveling in this time of the year, I want you to look at Psalm 121 as your reminder not to be anxious about anything. That's a hard thing for me. Is that a hard thing for you? That's a command of Scripture, not just an invitation. Do not be anxious about anything. You're struggling with that? Remember the words of this duet. Psalm 121 is a holiday song, so read it with joy. Psalm 121 is a Thanksgiving song, so let's actually remember to give God thanks and praise this Thanksgiving season. Psalm 121 is a pilgrim song that has comforted parents and grandparents for thousands of years, and it'll give you comfort too. God is watching you, both now and forevermore. Live into that grace. Amen.